In this climate-controlled office of about 1,000 square feet, there are shelves and shelves filled with boxes which contain photographs, slides, videotapes, and old press clippings. To touch them, gloves are required. All of the files are managed by staff archivist Tanya DeAngelis, who doesn't let the chilly 60-degree temperature bother her as she sorts, documents, and files the material for the very thorough website history.sundance.org. DeAngelis has led the Sundance Institute archive since its creation in 2006 after graduating with a master's in film studies and library sciences. This job, she says, was made for her.
My work here is honestly just a dream. I mean, it's absolutely tremendous to be able to walk in to here, or even looking at digital material too. The discovery process and just finding new things or trying to investigate or determine, okay, what was that photo taken, and then talking to other people and just building that information is so rewarding. And then also to see other people access it and enjoy it and get, I mean, it just makes people happy, which is, makes me happy.
The archival items were recently moved from another building in Salt Lake, and the last shipment of 100 more boxes from the Los Angeles Institute offices was delivered last month. Now that we live in the electronic age, everything from the filmmakers' press kits to the films themselves have been digitized. But the digital changeover only happened just a couple of years ago. It was 2011 when the Institute started accepting digital-only materials. However, she says they still accept some physical goods.
The only physical material we still collect from filmmakers for the festival is really posters.
The Institute has materials dating back to 1981, but most of the collection starts in 1985 when the Sundance Institute started running the festival, now celebrating its 30th festival this year. DeAngelis says the collection is a good history lesson of the many types of media used over the years, from beta tape to mini DV and now hard drives. As anyone who has had a hard drive crash or a videotape break knows, DeAngelis makes backups and ensures that the media is migrated from the older formats to the newest.
As something becomes obsolete, moving it to a new format so that we still can't access it. The majority of our video has been on mini DV. They're small little tapes, and then that kind of eventually moved into card-based video. So it just all digital. So it's saved on like a CF card, basically the same thing as our cameras.
One of her favorite finds is the original prospectus for creating the Sundance Institute in 1979, prepared on a typewriter with a proposed budget for the first year of $186,000.
I think the prospectus was probably the most moving document that I've found, just because it really does document what the Institute has become. Just knowing that that idea was there and the Institute has grown into it is wonderful.
She found it in a box with some of the minutes from board meetings. There's also a more recent memo from Sundance Institute founder Robert Redford that he sent to Institute management in 2001 when they apparently kept asking him what the job description is for Sundance. He replied in the memo with a quote from Sir Ernest Shackleton, the Antarctic explorer, saying, "Men wanted for hazardous journey. Small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return, doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success." Inside another box is the screenplay of the breakout film for Quentin Tarantino, Reservoir Dogs, from the 1991 Sundance Directors Lab. There's a cuss word on nearly every page. The film, which ignited Tarantino's film career, premiered at the 1992 festival. Another favorite of DeAngelis is the correspondence that she found between the Sundance programmer and the filmmaker Todd Haynes, who brought Superstar, the Karen Carpenter story, to the 1988 film festival.
It's very fun. I mean, there's the letter congratulating him on getting into the festival and his little color photos of the actual film. And then even the letter that he sends in, like, the New York Times Square print. I mean, there's so much, I don't know, the fact that it's handwritten just makes it, I don't know, that much more exciting.
DeAngelis was working in the Sundance press office in 2004 when she came across some of the old press kits and her mind started ticking. With her background in film studies and preservation, she helped create her own job. In the last few years, she has seen that most of the documents and photographs have been scanned and the videotapes transferred to the hard drives. As for the 100 new boxes from Los Angeles, she didn't expect to be done going through those until at least the end of February. The archives can only be accessed online at history.sundance.org. I'm Leslie Thatcher, KPCW News.